If you have your Bibles, please, 2 Chronicles chapter 1. If God said, I'll give you anything you want, anything, name it. What do you want? Money? Oh, man, if God said I could have anything, I'd like to be a gajillionaire. And somebody says, what's a gajillionaire? I don't know, but it sounds like a big number. In court sometimes, we just make up words. Because I found if they think it's a word, they think it's impressive you know something they don't know. Maybe you'd like fame, position. Oh, man, what I'd like to do is be president of the United States. Well, what I'd like to do is have a ministry like this. If you could have anything, what would it be? Well, God offered a man in the Bible anything. And what he chose is a landmark in Scripture. Let's get ready to read. The man's name is Solomon, 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, starting at verse 7. Now remember, they've just sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. They've just shown great favor to God. And then the Bible says, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Now, boy, Solomon had a lot he could ask for. He's got enemies everywhere. He's got a family that's disruptive in the extreme. There were a lot of things that he might have wanted. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast shown great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promises unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now, say out loud the next word, wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said unto Solomon, because this was in thine heart. Now remember, the Bible says, out of the multitude of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in here will always make its way out of your mouth. And the Bible says, what's in the heart? He said, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Wow. Solomon, you can have anything. What do you want? Now, just think about what would have been going through his mind. His father was this legend hero in Israel. David, the great warrior, the great singer, the great musician, the great poet, the man who slew Goliath. Boy, he lived in a tall shadow. Boy, your dad, David, was something, Solomon. Your dad, with a small band of men, evaded Saul and not only evaded him, but became king and took the nation and made it a world empire power. Why don't you ask for something like your dad had? No, that's not what I'm going to do. Well, then in the midst of all of that, along came a lady by the name of Bathsheba, and all of a sudden Solomon's dad had what is called Bathsheba Gate by some people. A national disgrace and a scandal. that involves betrayal and murder and adultery and a child born who dies, and the whole nation knows it. Maybe he could have asked to have all of that forgotten and erased. God, you said anything. Could we just blot that out? Let's not have that in the Bible. Let's make it where our name looks better. No, he didn't ask for that. Well, Solomon is their second child between Bathsheba and David. And Solomon has got five stepmothers and a bunch of wild half-brothers. The one half-brother raped one of the half-sisters. That got the other half-brother so mad that he killed that half-brother. And in the midst of all of this, that half-brother Absalom makes a play for the kingdom and goes up against David and gets killed. Boy, couldn't we just have a little family peace, God? But he didn't ask for any of that. Instead, what he asked for was wisdom. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, and look carefully to what the Bible says about wisdom in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. You want some joy in life, it's a byproduct of wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Would you underline the word all the things? There is nothing that can compare to wisdom. Nothing. All the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Solomon, you can have anything. I want wisdom. How much do you value wisdom? How much does it mean to you? Well, God gave Solomon this wide open choice, and he said, I'm going to pick wisdom. And God says, great choice. But God gives you and me the same choice. You do not have to live your life as a child of God without wisdom. Solomon, the wisest and the richest man who ever lived, didn't have the New Testament to rely on. And God gave him this choice, and boy, did he choose well. But God gives you a choice as a promise from God. Turn to James chapter 1. I want you to look very carefully at this promise. Here is the thing that God says exceeds the value of silver and gold, the value of all things. And God says, I want you to have it. You can have it. And by the way, it's not limited to a few. It's to every child of God. James chapter 1. Start reading with me, if you would, please, at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom. Now, underscore the word lack. Here's the first key. God says, I want you to acknowledge that you're not capable, that you're not able, that you lack. Did you notice what Solomon did when God said, what do you want? He said, I can't handle this. I got to have you. Solomon immediately got honest with God. If you want wisdom, it starts with you truthfully in your heart acknowledging that you lack. Now, how many of you here have ever made a stupid decision? Hold your hand up, would you? How many of you, like me, have made a number of them? How many of you are thrilled everybody doesn't know all your stupid decisions? Boy, do we lack. But there's just something in us that doesn't want to say, I lack. I'm not up to this. I don't know what God's going to call you to do when you leave this place, but I promise you, you better get wisdom because you lack. Man, this morning on the phone early back east, I've got a 3-hour time jump the wrong way. Man, I'm on the phone and I'm praying, God, I don't know what to tell these people. God, this is a nightmare. What do I do now? God, I can't believe this happened in the night. What do we do? And you know what I got to say? God, I lack. I lack. Boy, you want God's wisdom. It starts with an acknowledgement of lacking. If any of you lack wisdom, now circle the word wisdom. Be very careful here. There's a great deal of difference between knowing things and having wisdom. I get to rub shoulders with a lot of incredibly well-educated, very bright lawyers and PhDs, and we deal with them all the time. You see them, Dr. R. And they know all kinds of things. They just don't know what to do with anything. You see, wisdom is not knowing things. Please write this down. Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. That's wisdom. It's knowing what to do, and it's knowing when to do it. Wow. Oh, I promise you, in this school year, you need wisdom working your way through. What do I do and when do I do it? I've met men that have got multiple doctorates. Now, I met a man that is a MD, a PhD, and a lawyer with an advanced degree. The guy is an idiot. He is. Now, if you want to play trivia, he's amazing. But he doesn't know how to play life. He's got all this stuff, but he doesn't know what to do and when to do it. If any of you lack wisdom, now here's the next key. Let him ask of God. Now circle the word ask. The word ask there was the word for asking with particularity. It's not the word for asking in general. It's the word for asking specifically. God, and this is how I phrase it, I got to know what to do and when to do it. God, I got to have wisdom. Wisdom. Oh, do I need that? Do you need that? And by the way, God says the byproduct of wisdom is happiness and contentment and satisfaction. Why would you jettison your happiness, contentment, and satisfaction we read about when God says all you got to do is acknowledge you lack and ask with particularity? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Now God says, I will never ever criticize you for asking for this no matter how many times you come. Have you ever had to ask for something from your parents or an authority? And they say, how many times do I have to tell you? No, no, no. God says, I'll never do that. God says, I want you to come and keep coming. Amen. Let him ask of God that it braideth not. He'll never say, how many times? And giveth to all men liberally. But note the next thing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's God's promise, absolute promise, for you, for me, for Dr. Getch, for Dr. Chappell, to have God's wisdom. But you got to acknowledge you lack, and you've got to ask, God, what do I do, and when do I do it? Now, there's one final condition. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God says, you got to acknowledge you ask. You lack. You must ask. And you can keep asking. But you got to ask in faith, believing God's going to give it. Solomon, you could have had anything. I chose wisdom. God said, that's the pinnacle choice. God says to you and me, you want the very same thing I gave Solomon? Then all you have to do is acknowledge you lack. Ask. But you have to do it in faith. Nothing wavering. Now, that last requirement has been a challenge for me. Perhaps it'll be easy for you, but Dr. Getch, somehow there's just something in me I want to say, God, I got to know what to do and when to do it. I lack wisdom. Give it to me. Give it to me. And God says, you got to ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Do you believe? Yeah, well, I kind of believe. I sort of believe. I somewhat believe. God says, let not that man think he shall receive anything. Do you know why most Christians never get to wisdom? One, they don't ask. And number two, they don't ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do you understand? God says, I give you my word. I give you my promise. I give you my commitment. It shall be given him. Now just believe that. You trusted God and took him at his word to get saved. That's how you got saved. Now he says, take me at my word again about wisdom. I want for you to ask, but I want you to do it in faith. My grandfather was an unusual Christian man, not particularly well educated. He left the fifth grade because he didn't wish to repeat it for the third time. So his education was very limited. And he had to do something to make a living. And what my granddad did for a living was he knew how to butcher a cow. So the day after he left school, he bought a cow, butchered it, put it on a horse-drawn wagon, took it into town, sold it, and the next morning went back and butchered another one. And every day except Sunday, he took a cow into town, butchered it, and sold it. Then one cow became two, two became four, four became ten. By the time I came along, my granddad and my dad were slaughtering 5,000 to 7,000 cattle a week, putting them in semis, and sending it everywhere. And my granddad was not well educated, but he knew how to butcher a cow, cut it up, and go sell it, and he knew how to give 1,000 men, just a little over 1,000 men, a full-time job. Now, my granddad approached the Bible very simply. He said, God, you know I don't know what I'm doing. And God, if I don't have your wisdom, I mean, I've heard him say this, we're sunk. You got to order my steps. You've promised. And God, you got to give me wisdom. All these men are counting on me for a job. And God, it's too big for me. But I'm claiming your promise for wisdom. When my granddad would pray, he did the strangest thing. He always started his prayer by saying, Lord, this is Earl. And I said, why do you tell God your name, Grandpa? He said, well, I wanted to know who it is. I said, you don't think he knows? Yeah, he probably does, but I just want to make sure. He said, David, you don't realize how serious these promises are. He said, if you're not careful with your talent, with your education, you'll get comfortable living on what you can produce. And all of a sudden, you won't have heaven-sent wisdom. He said, you got to have it. One day we got called to New York City because we were selling a number of semis a day that was going overseas, and they wanted us to set up a trade zone and an exchange zone and a bunch of things. And so we met with these international bankers and lawyers and the people buying the meat. And man, we're in this conference room in a building that's now gone. It was the Trade Center. Way up high, that's the building that came down on 9/11. And we're meeting with them there, and they're saying all this stuff. And for 2 hours, my granddad and I sat there and listened to it. And finally, I turned to him. I said, Grandpa, what do you think? What do you think? He said, I don't understand one thing they're saying. Not one thing. He said, this is beyond me. But he said, it's not beyond God. And he said, if we're counting on my judgment, we're hurting. But he said, you and I, we got to ask for God's wisdom. Well, those men heard him say that, and they said, well, now, Mr. Gibbs, you need to make up your mind. I love what Grandpa told him. He said, guys, you need to understand something. I got to know how to do one thing, buy a cow, cut it up, and go sell it. Because he said, if I don't do that, we won't have anything to talk about. But he said, wisdom from God changes everything. Man, they were telling us all the money we were going to save, all the partners that were going to be in it. We walked out of there, and I said, well, Grandpa, what do you think? He said, David, I can't explain it. I just don't have a peace. And he said, I don't know why, because I don't understand it. But he said, I don't have a peace, and I've asked God for wisdom, and I absolutely believe he's given it to us. Boy, 6 months later, that all ended up with federal indictments for criminal things. 6 months later, it all imploded. And I said, Grandpa, how'd you know? He said, I didn't. He said, I lack. But he said, I want my steps ordered by God. And David, I asked, and I told God I lack. And I asked God to give me his wisdom. Solomon, you didn't have anything. I want wisdom. God says, I'm going to give it to you as a promise. If you'll acknowledge you lack, if you will ask, and if you'll do it in faith. Now, the devil's going to do everything in his power to keep you away from God's wisdom. Because you see, your wisdom, your understanding, your acknowledgments, the devil can foil them every time. But the devil can't foil God's wisdom. It's got the stamp of the Almighty behind it. And you absolutely can live knowing, I have the very thing Solomon had. The very thing that gave him that wisdom to rule an incredible nation. I can have that by promise of God. I don't know who the smartest person in this room is. All I know is your wisdom, your understanding is no match for God's wisdom. And God says, I want every one of you to have it. Acknowledge you lack, ask, and do it in faith. Wisdom. A man by the name of Dave Early wrote an amazing thing. He said, wisdom is characterized by righteousness, mercy, tact, humility, discipline, respect for authority, teachability, and honesty. He said it is the careful cultivation of a God-centered, Christ-like, character-driven way of living. Well said. Well said. This afternoon, I've got to face problems beyond me, beyond my experience. At some point in life, you're going to be inundated, and maybe you are now. God says, don't you dare despair. It shall be given him wisdom. But you got to acknowledge your insufficiency. You must ask, and you have to do it in faith, nothing wavering.